Good morning, everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. My name is Ron Erie. We're the Men of Loving Hands Ministry. This is about a little less than half of our group. God is setting these men free from addiction and other life controlling issues. This is such a big deal for us to be able to come here. I feel like I'm at home. It feels like a great atmosphere here, and it's just so great not to have to wear a suit, not to be in a suit this morning, because every Sunday we're... So it's freeing. And it's powerful, and we're going to share testimony. It's one of the things we do at the ministry. It's be able to come out and share so you can see in person life, you know, what God's doing in the lives of these men, you know, how they were once in darkness, broken, in denial of sin, and now how he's doing a work in their hearts. He's speaking to their minds, and they're being transformed. And that's what we do. You know, Pastor Wendell Wilson, our founder, he started taking men into his home over 40 years ago. Him and his wife, Miss Nancy, he did jail ministry at the time. He was a full-time pastor, and he saw the need for it because he'd go into the jails and he'd see men get set free, and then they'd go back out there right to the same people, places, and things, and they'd fall flat on their faces over and over. And his heart really went out to the drug community at the time. And here we are, such a need for it now, over 40 years later, and I think it's a divine appointment that we're here today, because you might know someone struggling. It might be a family member that doesn't think there's a way out, that doesn't think they can get off of the drugs or alcohol or life controlling issues, but they can, and you can inspire them and say, Jesus is the answer, right? I couldn't do it on my own, and that's what we share. We share we were broken. We couldn't do it on our own. We tried over and over. But until we got real with the Lord and offered our bodies as living sacrifice, like the word says, holy and pleasing to him, right? No longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's what the word of God does. It renews our minds day in and day out, and just getting into that pattern daily. So we're an 18-month program. We were recently 2 years. But we went to 18 months this last year, and just seeing the transformations firsthand. You know, I got men standing behind me that have testified at churches once or twice, maybe more. But we were at a church service. Let me just share this with you. We were at a church service maybe a month and a half ago, and in that church service there was a woman who's a lawyer, and she came to the table after the service crying, and she said, I've been separating men from their families for years because of drug addiction. I've been separating men from their children for years, but God spoke to me in these testimonies, and I want to come along your ministry, and I want to help your men get their children back. Come on. I want to help. She wants to help us, the men. Now I got some men behind me that need their children back in their lives. So it's just God answering in the moment. And for her to say she wants to do that free of charge, you know, and come alongside us is powerful. So just, I don't know how the Spirit's going to move today, but I know he's moving. I know he's moving. So just be receptive. Be receptive to his voice. I know it's hard sometimes. You're going to hear someone's dirt, you know. You're going to hear someone's sin from their past. But we don't stay on that long. We go right to Jesus, right? We go right to Jesus and what he's doing now. And my eyes are open. And I think about that lawyer, you know, that was her Damascus Road experience. If you think about it, think about Paul. He was persecuting the Jews. They called him the Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, and he had one touch from Jesus, right? And look what God inspired him to go on and do. So I tell these guys, like, these guys were running for the wrong thing for so long, right? Now they're running for the right thing. I'm talking guys that would run and steal a car and crash that car just to get to the drug dealer's house, right? You take that drug out of that man's life and you replace it with Jesus, and I'm telling you, there's no stopping that man. There's no stopping that man for the kingdom of God. He's going to tell all his friends about Jesus. He's going to tell his families. And this men are just getting transformed, and that's what we share. So my name's Ron Erie. I'm the program director in Palmetto. I got set free in 2018. I had an encounter with God, right? Had an encounter with God in this little chapel up in Dade City. And a street evangelist was praying over me. And that same day that I was having feelings like, what am I doing here? Am I faking it till I make it? I was 6 months in the program. I said, God, are you even real? That same night, God answered. He prayed over me. And I'm telling you, I had an encounter with God in that moment that I had to pull away from. It got so intense. God is so real. He's so real. And I remember looking up at the popcorn ceiling, and I just had to pull myself out of it. It was so, so real. And he's real, and that's just what, you know. And he spoke to my heart, and he said, everything you've been doing for 20-plus years, all you needed was one touch from me. All you needed was one touch from me, and it changed my life. And now just seeing these men experience similar things and going to, you know, conferences and just being touched by the Lord. So we're going to go into testimony right away. But another part of my testimony is my daughter saw me in addiction for 15 years, right? And now she's 23, and she has a father who's been set free and gets to speak that life to her. And she gets to walk in freedom too. And that's what it's all about, just families being restored. And that's what God's doing. So I don't know where I'm going to start. I think I want to start with Bradley this morning. So listen to these testimonies, and like, they're hard. Some of them are hard to listen to, but just see what the Spirit does.
Good morning, church. My name is Bradley. Thank you. I feel at home even before I got in here. So the name of the church is enough, but the surrounding and the atmosphere is beautiful. So thank you for having us. My name is Bradley. I'm 41 years old, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I had a great childhood growing up, a hardworking father and a loving, caring mother. Around the age of, I'm the youngest of three. I'm the baby, you'll see why. And my older brother, he was 2 years older than me, and he got addicted to heroin whenever I was 12. And I tried to play it off, didn't deal with it. I ran from it. I pretended that I was okay with it, and I really wasn't. I had a giant hole inside me. We did everything together. He was my older brother, so we got in trouble. We fought, and I missed him. Testimony, he is now 23 years sober. So, but I hid myself in sports. I was very athletic as a child, and baseball was my first love. I was a pitcher. I taught myself how to pitch, and I was very good at it, and I thought I had a career. In 10th grade, I tore my rotator cuff, and at that point, I chased everything. I chased drugs, alcohol, fill that void. I just had a running spirit. I ran from everything, from deaths in the family, and I dealt with it by submerging myself into drugs and alcohol and parties and women and everything of the world, and this followed me up until recently. I was at the age of 25. I was married, and before I got married, I had lost my job to. I was a coal miner. I got laid off from the mines, and once again, instead of pulling myself up and doing better, I sunk myself deeper into my alcohol addiction. Alcohol has run and destroyed many things in my life. I have four beautiful children. To 2023, my wife gave me divorce papers. At that time, I was 9 months sober, doing well, and then, you know, Satan kicked me again, put me down. At that point in time, I didn't know what to do. I didn't pick up the bottle. Instead, I went to something worse. I picked up a crack pipe for 3 months. I had to leave my home. I couldn't talk to my kids. I didn't think. I didn't think I had anything left to live for. I died twice in the same week because there was fentanyl in the crack cocaine I was smoking. And at that point in time, God saved me the second time to bring me down here to start over again. And I came to this ministry in 2024, and I spent a year, and I run. So after a year, I ran again. I'm done running from God. It is, He is so gracious and merciful that as hard as I ran from Him and the things that I did, He does not condemn me. He loves me even more. And He just wants me to come to Him, to be free, to live the life that He has for me. And He's making a way through this ministry. This ministry is fantastic. These are my brothers. We live together. We fight. I miss my children. I was an alcoholic, but I spent time with them. And God's going to restore what the locust and the canker worm have eaten, what the balmer worm and the caterpillar have destroyed. And I just know, I know he is a faithful God, and he's just waited for me to come to him, and I came with nothing. And I left my house with my clothes, and that was it. I had a house, 2-car garage. I had the American dream, but I was miserable. I was empty without him. And now that I have nothing, he let me know that I have everything. I have joy again. I haven't had joy since I was a kid. I have the peace of God because of him. And I just want to leave you with my verse, and it's Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's powerful, right? Seeing God moving in his life, and he's going to, I speak life over Bradley and profess that he's going to have his children back in his life, Brad. They're going to be back in your life. There's no doubt about that. You keep chasing Jesus. You keep chasing him and giving him everything that you have, and God's going to restore that. So that's exciting, seeing what's about to take place there, you know, and it's fulfilling for me. You know, seeing, I know our founder, Pastor Wendell, he says the root, it's not an addiction problem. It's not he went to be with the Lord in 2016, like I said, but he used to say, I recently watched a sermon that he preached, and he said, it's not an addiction problem. It's a sin problem, right? When you address that sin, when you surrender and you repent, and you're no longer living in darkness and denial of sin, you know, we're sinners. Right? We are sinners, but we are saved by grace. We're saved by him. And when we go to him, instead of running and hiding from him, we run to God. We don't stay in that place of sin, but we take that sin and we repent and we give it to him. And I also recently learned that, you know, our pastor, our founder, he was up in Pensacola, you know, during the Jesus Revolution. I know that was a big movie and everything that came out, but he was up in Pensacola during that time in the early 80s. And he was opening up the first Teen Challenge there. He was a part of that. And he said he was inspired by, who is it? The Cross and the Switchblade. Who's the? David Wilkerson. So David Wilkerson was there in his tour bus. And he said that he was able to sit with David Wilkerson in his tour bus. And he said that he was speaking to him and something sparked something in Pastor Wendell. You know, something sparked something in him, and to look and see how it inspired him to go and start loving hands in 1984. So what's that one thing? It makes me think, like, what's that one thing that sparks you, that inspires you, that brings that passion out in you? You know, what is that one thing? And it has to be Jesus, right? It has to be him and following his ways and walking in the light. And that's just what we preach, you know, at Loving Hands. It's very structured. It's the hardest thing I ever had to do. It's the hardest thing these men had to do. Like, we can play sports all day. We went to play softball yesterday in Englewood. We had a little against Dade City, our other location. But we can do physical things all day. But it's, as men, it's dealing with the heart issues. You know, because we're told from a young age, like, don't be a crybaby. You know, men don't cry, from our uncles. You know, you got to be tough. You got to be a football player. But that is the biggest lie ever. Because when we get into the presence of God, you know, and he starts revealing things to us through the Psalms, you know, and starts speaking to our hearts, and we start crying and start releasing those tears. You know, what does the word say? It says he bottles those tears up in heaven. He bottles our tears up in heaven. So just seeing that and just being transparent, you know, because God, he wants us to be transparent and vulnerable, you know, and not bottle up and not hide, but run to him. So where's Miguel at? Is he behind me? Miguel, come on up here. So Miguel's one of our newer residents. I'm so proud of Miguel, you know. He's just, God's working in his heart, and I want you to share your testimony.
Good morning, everybody. There's a lot of people here. My name is Miguel Torres. I'm 39 years old. I was born in Miami, but raised in Sarasota my whole life. I've been in and out of prison since I was like 17, in and out, in and out, in and out. I just got out recently, last year in December, 60 days to turn myself into a Loving Hands ministry. After 60 days, I turned myself in. I've been following God. Well, I'm knowing God since before 2000, but it's just been an on and off. And since I've been at the Loving Hands ministry, when I first got there, I was so depressed because I was so away from my family and my daughter. And just really so depressed. So when I got there, I was just like, man, I don't want to be here, you know. But I had no choice but to stay there because if I leave, I will violate my probation. So I ended up staying there. And it's been almost 2 months now. And now I look back and I tell myself, man, God's been working in my life a lot, you know. And since I've been there, and every day I've just been crying, every day there, man. And I know what it is, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he's working in my life. And I've been struggling with things, but, you know, God's still working with me on those things. I just continue to just to pray and just stay focused on God as much as I can. And just like I tell my brothers here, stay obedient, stay faithful, stay humble, stay prayed up, stay in the Word. Continue to deny yourself daily, pick up your cross, follow Christ, crucify that flesh. You know, every day is a spiritual battle, I tell them, you know. The devil, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God, he comes to give us life and give it more abundantly. You always got to put that holy armor on. Never take it off. Permanently, you got to keep it on, even while you're asleep. Because, you know, we're in a spiritual warfare every day. Every day is a spiritual battle. Everybody's going through something every day in their lives. And I have to just remember, you know, that keep my eyes on Christ and continue to keep going hard for the kingdom of God. I got my daughter. She's 21 years old. I haven't been in her life in 21 years. So I'm just like, I'm trying to build that relationship back up with her. And it's tough, man. Because all these years I've been locked up, in and out, you know. And, you know, I got my mom out there. She's struggling right now. But, you know, God's helping her to get by, you know. I'm keeping her in my prayers every day. My brother's out there on and off drinking. And, you know, it kind of hurts me a little bit, you know. But I know all I can do is just pray for him. And in God's perfect will and timing, you know, God will touch his heart and get him right. And get right with him. And the mother of my child right now, she's locked up. She's on her way to prison. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. God's going to be working in her life as well. Just got to continue to keep praying for her. That's all I can do. I just thank God that that I'm here at the Loving Hands Ministry because, you know, man, we've been going to so many services. And it's like, I tell y'all, every day I'm like, I haven't cried like this so much since I got to the Loving Hands Ministry. Every day I've been crying. Every time we go to worship, it's like God's touching my heart every time. And I just start crying, and I think about all the things that I've done in my life. I should have been dead a long time ago. You know, when I was using drugs, doing cocaine, I felt like I was going to die. But you know what? God saved me. You know, at that time, I didn't realize that, but now I do realize it. When there was times when I was at a bar drinking, I was unconscious. Somebody found me outside of the bar. I don't know what happened. I was not breathing. I ended up at the hospital waking up. That was God again. There was times where I woke up with a hangover. I'm going to the store, walking back. I got hit by a car going 30 miles per hour. I should have been dead again, you know. I woke up in shock. I didn't know what was going on. The ambulance there, you know. I was still alive, you know. There was times where people pulled guns at me. I should have been dead, you know, there too. But you know what? God saved my life again. Even in prison, you know, situations where I put myself in predicaments I shouldn't have put myself in, you know. God was there again, saved my life, you know. So now I think about it and I say, you know what? I need to be thankful for, you know, what God's been doing in my life, for my family, my daughter, my brothers in Christ, and all of y'all as well. And I thank God for that, you know, because that's the will of God. Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. And it's just been a battle. But you know what? We're soldiers, we're warriors, we're fighters for God's perfect will and his glory and his kingdom. And we got to continue just to persevere in Christ Jesus. I mean, every day is a struggle. And there's going to be times where we fall, even I fall. But you know what? I get back up and continue to keep going harder and look to Christ and persevere in him, keep pressing hard. I got to remind myself every day that no matter what I'm going through, I can always look to Christ for help because he's the one that gives me the strength that I need. I just got to continue to just stay focused, stay positive, and just stay close to God and just trust him more. Because there's times where I just want to, like, I get in my flesh, you know, and I want to do what I want to do. That doesn't work like that. I know what happens when I do that. So I have to, my spirit's got to get in tune with Jesus Christ and stay focused on him. So I just encourage y'all, if you're going through anything in your life, continue to stay focused on God. Don't give up. Stay prayed up. God loves you. And Jesus Christ, he's the true and the way and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through him. And with that, there's a lot of scriptures that I try to live by and that I, you know, I was keeping my heart. Well, I was telling Ron the other day, I memorized my verse from a while back because I forgot. But since I came to the Love of Hands ministry, I remember my verse back now. It's Psalms 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." And it says, "Even he restores my soul, and he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Love y'all. God bless y'all.
Appreciate it, Miguel. So, you know, our intake's busier than it's ever been. You know, we have our Dade City location. We also have a location in Georgia. We're the Palmetto Group. But, you know, the intake's busier than it's ever been. If you can remember, you know, if you've come across someone that needs help, we haven't charged a man or their families in, you know, over 40 years. They can go right on the website. They can submit an application. Once they hit that submit button, it's on lovinghands.net. That's our website. And then they can become a resident directly through the website, hit the submit button. It goes to Travis Vizzini. He's our intake director, doing an amazing job. You know, we're busier than we've ever been. We're seeing more men ready. More men, like Bradley said, you know, there's guys out there that are overdosing, and they're getting brought back to life with Narcan, right? And they don't want to die in their sin, and they don't want to die, and I don't want their souls to go to hell because they need to know Jesus. They need to know he's the answer. And I know they were talking for a while, you know, at your hotel rooms, go to a hotel, you know, and you know where they keep the Bible. Now they're saying that they're going to be putting Narcan where the Bible used to be in that drawer. Every hotel is going to have Narcan in it because of the epidemic with the fentanyl, you know, and that's horrible, you know, and guys don't think there's a way out. And the language out there on the streets is like amongst people in addiction is like, you can't get off it. You're never going to be able to get off that. You're going to need that for the rest of your life or have to go to a methadone clinic to get it. And they start believing that lie. I don't want to be dope sick. It's the worst thing I ever had to deal with. You know, it's the restless legs and everything else. And they build up this fear, this level of fear. But they need to know that Jesus can deliver them from that. They need to know that he's the answer, you know, and they can do it. So just seeing such a need right now for men to just get right and get off that stuff and just come to the Lord. And seeing, like I said, you know, once a man gets set free and he's run towards Jesus with that same amount of energy that he was running towards that drug, there's no stopping that man. So I want to let Hayden share his testimony. He's going to take you through our daily schedule, you know, and tell you what life's like day by day at Loving Hands.
Do you have a question? lovinghands.net. Yeah, you're welcome. I didn't know if you were, you know. All right, so this is the schedule for Loving Hands, you know, Monday through Friday. We wake up at 6:15 and then calisthenics. You do calisthenics for like 20 minutes until 6:45. Breakfast is at 7 and until 6:50, calisthenics, sorry. And then breakfast is at 7, and then there's the first chore of the day. After that, you go and do devotions at 7:40, and then devotions is until 8:25, and then there's a 5-minute break, and then the first teacher of the day comes in. We have like preachers and teachers and all kinds of different people that come in, coaches, and they come in and you know, give us their time and kind of teach us things that, you know, we wouldn't have found out on our own. And that's for an hour, and at 9:30 the first class is over, and then you get a 10-minute break, and then second class, another teacher comes in. And then that's for another hour, and at 10:40 that one ends, and there's another 10-minute break. And then we have a third class. It's like a book reports and memory verse class. So every 10 days, the men are required to memorize 3 verses and do 1 book report, faith-based. The first book being The Cross and the Switchblade, David Wilkerson. We have Run, Baby, Run, you know, the Nikki Cruz. So we're very familiar with all that. We actually also have character studies, which is also developed from Mr. Wilkerson. So after that class, it's lunch. Lunch is 25 minutes, and then we do second chore of the day. And after that class, we do a little break, and then we go to intercessory prayer. That product table we brought, there's a sheet on there for that. Please fill that paper out, any prayer requests you have. Because we take time every day to pray on behalf of people, you know, stand in the gap for them, so to speak, you know, just lift up their needs. And so it's not only important for us, but it's important for the community and the, you know, the people who need it. After that, there's a little 10-minute break, and then we do work projects. We live on 10 acres, so there's a lot of upkeep with it. You know, we're getting into mowing season, and there's just a lot to do. We have a lot of trees, palm trees, and it's just a beautiful property, so it's a lot of work. So we do that for 2 hours, and then it's a break, and then we do rec. We play pickleball. I accept all challenges. But after rec, we have a little pool. I'd swim too. So after rec, we do showers and free time. And that's another good time for you to kind of get alone with the Lord. It's like your second devotion of the day, so to speak. But you know, you get ready, get cleaned up for dinners at 6. After dinner, we do the third chore of the day, you know, so we have a pretty clean house, you know what I mean? I mean, it stays nice, that's for sure, like hotel type stuff. And after the third chore, we have a final class of the day that starts at 7 p.m., and that's the longest class of the day. It's an hour and a half. And then at 8:30, that class ends. Sometimes we do a snack night. If it's Wednesday or Saturday, we do snack. But after that, usually it's like a 9:20, 9 o'clock being house prayer. And then 9:20 lights are out, and then we do it again, you know. So, like a time capsule, you know what I'm saying? So, anyways, so I'll go out and give my testimony. Yeah. So my name is Hayden. I'm 31. I'm from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Growing up as a little kid, you know, like you never tell yourself, "I'm going to grow up to be a drug addict. That's what I want to do." But by the age of 14 years old, I was already a full blown addict. Cocaine, meth, Xanax. I was doing everything. At 15 years old, I started gangbanging. I was just there. I grew up in. It was all over, all around me. Kind of just fell into it, you know. You know, that's just what I knew. At 16, my only sibling, my brother, I lost him to violence. And once he died, I kind of fell into a little dark hole for a while, spiraled out of control, and I just started being a terror to my community and loved ones around me. You know, all the people that were trying to help me, I didn't want to see that in the time. I was confused. I was on drugs. I was, you know, lost my brother. And this went on for 3 years. At 19, I finally, it all caught up with me. I went to prison. I did some calendars in prison. Got out. And kind of like Pastor Wendell would say, he wanted to help guys in jail because it was like a revolving door for us, you know. We'd get out, fall right back on our face, get locked up again, and I lived in this vicious cycle. I just didn't know any better, you know. Sometimes you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. and you want to do better, but you just don't know another way. And that was me. I just got story after story. I could tell you, lived in this life for 16 years. Eventually, I was like, oh, I want to see change. I want to do better. So I left Oklahoma and came to Florida, thinking that would change things. I got a cousin here. And within a month of me being in Florida, I went to volunteer at a place called Turning Points in Bradenton. And I met somebody there who knew the same lingo as I did. And I was putting guns on the street again, you know, looking at going back to prison. And God opened the door for me to come here. It was here at Living Hands that, you know, the enemy had placed these labels on my life, my entire life. You know, head to toe, just covered in labels, you know, a drug addict, worthless, homeless. I lived on the streets. I did all that. In my car, and you know, Christ began to remove those labels off of me. Before coming here, also, I had become so sick and twisted in my mind that I actually believed that I could communicate with my loved ones through witchcraft. I got involved in the occult heavily. The mother of my children, she also overdosed and passed away. So just been a lot of death in my life, like, constantly. And so I believed that I could communicate with them. That's how sick I was, you know. And I saw a lot of dark things because of that. And actually being in the ministry, I got set free one day. These gentlemen behind me prayed for me one night. And I was finally ready to release it all. And you ever seen somebody fall in the spirit? Like, that's what happened to me. Like, I just fell. I couldn't control it. And I just felt like this heaviness come off of my chest. And after that, I started sleeping peacefully. Like, I slept with night terrors for years. I mean, they'd wake up and I'd be like screaming, fighting in my sleep, because I was haunted for real, you know. And just being set free of that, only God, only Jesus could do something like that for me, you know. I came here with literally nothing, and the Word taught me that He's Jehovah Jireh, His provider, provided all my needs, you know, everything that I needed. He took care of me. He restored my family to me. I communicate with my children now. They're 6 and 5, you know, so they're still little. Yeah, it says He's Jehovah Rapha, a healer. I came in here pretty physically messed up, but He's restored that. But most importantly, man, my mental health, emotional health was bad off. And then my spiritual self was completely, you know, I was dead. And He restored all that, brought me back to life, you know. So He has proven Himself again and again in His Word that, you know, He sticks to what He says He's going to do. And, you know, try Jesus. He works, you know. I'll tell you that. I tried everything else, and it all failed. So I'm just grateful to the ministry, to my brothers here. And just watching God work is an incredible thing. I recently went to Powwow again. That's like for Royal Rangers, like little kids, you know, Fort Meade, Camp Wilderness. And I got to watch, you know, these kids run up there and start worshiping the Lord, you know. And it's like, I sat back and I was like, you can't even get adults to do that, you know. That's why He says in the Word, like, have childlike faith, you know. Just undoubtedly believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do, you know. So I'll tell you guys, one more thing I'll say is share love to people. You don't know what your love to somebody could do. It could change their life. You can't judge a book by its cover. You know, you could look at somebody and never think twice that person did what they did. But they did. So if you love on that individual, that's what Jesus did. He is love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And from that, from love comes joy, peace, happiness, long-suffering, so on and so forth. You know what I mean? And so just show love. And with that, I'll give you my life verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It comes from the book of love, verses 1 through 3. I do the New Living Translation, so it was easier for me to understand. So it says, if I could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing.
It's great to see what God's doing in your life, Hayden. You know, and I'm so excited for you. I know he graduates, what, June? 16 months now. He's going to be graduating in June, so he's excited about that. Come on. Yeah. And just preparing this 18 months that you took here. You know, you got into the Word, and you know, you got to apply it to your life. You know, we got to apply the Word, apply it to the principles. It says, like, information. I heard this saying. I love it. I love sharing it. Information without application leads to frustration. Right? So information without application leads to frustration. So when we don't apply the principles, when we don't apply the Word to our lives, and I've seen guys that can memorize the Word and they know all the scriptures inside and out, but they're not applying it to their lives. They're not letting it get from here to here. What do they say? That 16-inch, what's that? That one 16-inch space. They're not letting the Word get from here to here. But that's the thing. That's what we have. That's what we're so big on, is just, and that's why it's 18 months. Because the guys do bump heads. They have to forgive. They have to walk through things. They have to apply the Word, or they're going to get frustrated. And I've seen men that know so much scripture, and then they just leave because they're getting frustrated. It leads to frustration if they're not walking it out. You know, so it's so important that we walk these principles out. And that's what it's all about, just becoming the Word. Like, we can really do this. We can become it, like it says. Because he said that you will go and do greater things than me, Jesus said. So if we apply these principles and start walking in it, you know, and just becoming the Word of God for the world to see, and let it flow through us and freely give, and don't try to hold on to anything. Just continue letting go. Let go, let go, let go. Because I know it says, Paul talks about this straining, right? He's straining towards something. I'm straining towards a goal, right? It says that I'm pressing. He's pressing. And we think in our minds, like, oh, I got to press. I got to attain this thing. I got to work. No, you got to let go, because he says, I let go of what's behind. I let go of the past. So that's what it's all about. Just keep letting go. Keep letting go. It's not some of these things that we try to hold on to. They're not meant for us to hold on to. We just need to let go. So I want to let my final brother here. This is Lars. He's got a powerful testimony. Lars has, you could share it, but I know he's going to court tomorrow. I'm so excited for him. So go ahead. Let's get into your.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Lars. I'm 32 years old. I was born and raised in Frankfort, Kentucky. I moved down here in 2015. So I'm not going to spend too much time on my past, because that's glorifying the old self. It's to glorify what the glory of God has done for me in my life. So I was molested at a very young age. I was physically abused. And then I saw two different lifestyles. I lived a split life growing up. Half of my family was partiers and living a very awful life. The other half of my family were hearers and doers of the Word, going to church twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. And I enjoyed that life. But living with my mom and stepdad, also, I had to see the party scene, and I was involved with all that. At the age of 13, I went to youth camp and had the calling of God placed upon me to be part of the ministry. I came back from that, and obviously in your teenage years, you become rebellious. We've all been there, done that. And I was rebellious. Satan saw that I was seeking the joy of the Lord, and he started attacking me. And I allowed that attack to overcome me. I allowed that attack to happen. And obviously with my height, I had multiple scholarships. I played sports scholarships. I threw down the dream because I chose the drug life. I chose the jock life. I allowed my injuries, my opiate addiction, to take control over my life. But I got myself clean. I'm a father of five kids. I have three in Kentucky, two here. Got myself clean, came home, kept myself clean. But I needed to change my roster because everyone knew who I was and what I was involved. So I moved to the great state of Florida in 2015. And then that was the beginning of a very mentally abusive, life-controlling. I became somebody's puppet. I put myself into a relationship that I imprisoned myself in this relationship. I chose to be in this relationship with somebody for 10 years. To get out of it, I had to accept false accusations that came my way last year of December. At that time, I felt like the Lord was telling me, hey, you've been praying out to me. You've been calling out to me to get out of this relationship. This is what you're going to have to do. It's like I reverted back to Genesis chapter 39 when Joseph accepted the false accusations from Potiphar's wife. And it's how I relate to the Word, and I needed to do that because these tattoos you see, I tattooed myself 147 times to see if I was still so numb to pain. And I was so numb to everything that was going on. I was stripped away from my family, my sisters, my kids, everything, because I chose to be in this relationship with this woman. But I heard a whisper from God, and it was like, it's time, be still, be quiet, listen to me, follow me. And I did. I took that leap of faith, ran to my grandmother's condo up in St. Pete. When I got there, she opened her arms so wide open. She bawled her eyes out. She's like, you're home. I was like, yes, I am. This is what I want to do now. She left. I went on a spiral streak. You know, being with somebody for 10 years, not knowing of where you're at, what you can do, or couldn't even speak to my own gender for 10 years. I went through a downward spiral streak of just self-destruction. I wanted it in my life, but I didn't. I heard God again, and next thing you know, the U.S. Marshals are at my door, and they were like, let's go. I was like, yep, this is it. This is exactly what God's been speaking to me. Went to jail for 5 months, and read that word from front to back. Never felt more alive in my life. Reading that, my family could start seeing the transformation while I was in there. My family's been restored back to me. My mom, my stepdad, my sisters, my kids. That all is going to happen on God's timing. But my family is there for me. They're my backbone. They've been accepting the accountability of me leaning on them. And they know that. Along with my court tomorrow, you know, it's like what he said. I have court tomorrow. And it amazes me because the way things have been lining up in my life, it's just been confirmation after confirmation. And I've just been on fire for the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to be in his presence of knowing that we do have a heavenly Father to lean on. He's our safety net. And that's the love and the joy of what he's willing to offer. And I'm going to leave you all with my life verse. It's 1 Peter 5:6-9. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of struggles that you experience are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Thank you.
Man, it's so good seeing just the joy that Lars is experiencing and just the glory of God. Just, man, it's his glory being made known. You know, the glory of God is Christ's, you know, Christ's attributes coming out. You know, and I'm seeing Christ every day when I look at Lars. I'm seeing Christ when I see these guys. So I know that we're doing something right, right? God's doing something in our lives because, you know, Christ-likeness is synonymous with manhood. That's something Ed Cole said. He used to say Christ-likeness and manhood are synonymous, meaning they're the same thing. They're the same thing. So just seeing that Christ-likeness in these guys, you know, like he makes his face shine upon us, right? Make your face shine upon me, God, it says in Psalms. And just we pray that stuff. Like, Lord, reveal yourself to a deeper level. Fall madly in love with Jesus, right? So it's just, I'm going to close us down here and just invite everyone to the table. If you'd like to see, we have a God's Army shirt back there. It says, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to heal, fill, and deploy. And that's what's going on at Love and Hands. Men's lives are getting healed, set free, and they're going back out and they're touching their circle of influence. They're shining for Jesus. So that's what's taking place, you know, and it's powerful. There's no comparison to the Spirit working in us. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm curious. How many in here have somebody, a good friend, relative, that has dealt with addiction?
Wow.
How you would love to see Jesus restore those people?
Come on. He can do it. He can do it. We'll just keep them in prayer. I had a praying mother. How many praying mothers are in here? She never stopped. She never stopped praying for me. Now she's praying for my daughter. You know, she's just a praying mother. And I know that you got broken family members out there. I know people need help. Don't give up on them, because he never gave up on us, right? When we were at our weakness, that's where he shines through. When we were in our darkest sin, in the darkness of life, he reached down. He pulled us out because he knew what we would look like with Jesus in us. So that's what's taking place. If you know anyone, like I said, lovinghands.net, they can submit an application directly from the website. You know, but
come see us at our table. And if you have anyone that needs prayer, put them on the prayer sheet. You know, and if anyone that needs prayer, we'd love to pray for you. So we're just blessed. Thank you. I want to honor our president, Miss Kim. That's Pastor Wendell and Miss Nancy's daughter. She's over all three locations now, doing an amazing job, and we're growing. Like I said, our intake's busier than it's ever been. We have 10 residents now. We can house up to 16. Same in Dade City. I think they can house about 14. But there's such a need. I'm telling you, like the West Coast, the East Coast, Daytona, New Smyrna, those areas, you know, it's just there's a need for it. So if you want to come alongside, you can come talk to me, become an SOS partner. What an SOS partner is, you know, for $40 in celebration of our being over 40 years of ministry, for $40 a month, you can sign up to be an SOS partner, and it can come out every month. It could be a recurring, you know, donation that would really help. So we're glad we were able to come share and proclaim Christ today. That's a big deal for these guys. I'm telling you, when every time we get out there, right? Because the battlefield's out there, and after they graduate, the battlefield's going to be out there, and they got to put what they learn to work. That's what it's all about, right? Make it work and just continue laying it down, continue surrendering. So we thank you so much. God bless everybody. Thank you again. We do have a golf tournament. Any golfers in here, come see me. We have a golf tournament coming on May 9th. It's going to be at the River Club down on 70. So thank you so much. God bless. Yes, sir.
Hey, before Jason closes us out, I felt like the Lord, actually, I felt like he gave me a word. And so I think you guys know kind of when that happens. Jason, can I ask you to hold this mic for a second? Thanks, brother. I just want to, my Bible's a little bit falling apart, so when I turn the pages with only one hand, I felt like the Lord gave me a word for you guys, and I don't know if it was even in the announcements or maybe it was during worship time, and then I thought the word was steadfastness, specifically, and so, and I thought, okay, God, do you want me to just say that? And usually when he does that, he has a scripture verse, and I was like, Lord, I don't know where the scripture verse you want to give because I don't want to say anything on my own. And he said, oh, okay, it's in Corinthians. I was like, okay, Corinthians got a lot of verses, Lord. And so we're getting close to the end of the teaching here. And then he says, oh, yeah, there it is. And so I've got one for you guys and then maybe one for us. The one for us might be Darren, but this one's definitely for you guys, okay? And so you don't know me well, but when I say it's from the Lord, I mean, I didn't think of this for you. It's from him. So hopefully it ministers to one of you, hopefully all of you. It's from 1 Corinthians, I don't even know what chapter, 16, verse 13 and 14. And it says, first thing it says is, be on your guard. And then it says, stand firm or be steadfast in the faith. It says, be men of courage. It says, be strong. And then it says, do everything in love. And then, so that's the word of the Lord I felt he had for you specifically. And then for us, if I can read it, I got so much writing in my Bible over these years. It's in Thessalonians. It says, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm or steadfast in the Lord. All right, Jason, would you close this up?
All right. Hello, everyone. How is everybody? All right, so I didn't wholeheartedly know what I would talk about up here. I got a couple of minutes here, but yesterday there was a verse of the day, and the Lord likes to speak to me through those verses of the day. So what I'm really going to do is I'm going to actually read probably about 8 verses and be quick with the rest because I know that you all can smell it. Pastor Gary came in here. He whiffed it in the door, and I know everybody's hungry. So I'm in Isaiah chapter 55. And with you guys, number one, thank you so much, because as Miguel said there, yes, there are a lot of people here. It can be a little intimidating sometimes. So I understand it takes a lot to come up here to speak out to everybody. But you guys are being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking life through your testimony and showing how great God is. So thank you so much for doing that. And with that, the Lord pointed me to Isaiah 55, and it was verse 6 that I saw yesterday. But as I read, this whole beginning of the chapter talks about the compassion of God. Israel had turned away to Baal and every other idol out there, but God was patient and loving, and he wanted them to come back, right? His compassion. So it says here, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. It speaks of God's provision, right? God provides. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and labor for that which does not satisfy? We've heard so much from these men right here. And maybe that's why the Lord pointed me to this and I didn't even realize it. But speaking about how you guys were trying to fill that void and you couldn't do it. So why are we chasing after that, right? Why? Sometimes the world's just a little bit too much and we get overpowered. The enemy is strong sometimes. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in his rich food. And I love what you guys were talking about, your devotion times and everything else. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be feeding ourselves on the word of God. That's the rich food. That it's not this pork that's out here, but I know your pork is great. Don't take it offense. However, it is that rich food is the word of God. That's what fills us. That's what causes us not to be hungry. That's what brings the joy. That's what has us not thirsting, right? That's the water and the food that will never go bad. So it says to incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Now this is the verse that came to me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. See, he's saying let him return back. The wicked can go and do their things, but the Lord is long-suffering. He is patient. He's crying out to us. And right now, we still have the time. There will come a time when we won't have it anymore, that he won't be able to be found. So right now, we need to grab hold of what he's offering and giving us. And it says, let him to return to the Lord, that the Lord may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And when y'all think that that's some craziness right here, this next verse explains it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. When I think that all is like, well, logically speaking, none of this can be true, that's not his way. That's my own flesh saying this is how it goes, and this is the enemy using that lie to condemn me. But his ways are not my way. He is long-suffering. He is a great father. He's a better father than I am. I love my kids to death, but you know what? They annoy me, and I can get impatient, and I can show that. However, he is so good. He is so good. So, right now, I know that many of us sit here week in and week out. And I know that we deal with things that most people don't know about. And sometimes we hold those things in because we're afraid of being judged by others. However, that's not how it should be. These men right here are an example. Yes, they're here at this ministry. They're living together. They're doing life together. Yes, you guys may end up fighting a little bit here and there. Something may annoy you. However, You know the ins and outs. You know those things. And we should know the same. So right now, what I am going to do is I am going to close out, but I would say that if there is anyone here that needs prayer, that needs honest prayer, you won't be judged. This is a family. This is the body of Christ. This is what we should be doing. This should be our family. And we should be able to love without judgment, without fear of judgment. So if you do need prayer, I'm going to ask Mr. Anthony, Mr. Don, Pastor Gary, and Pastor Darren. And I'm sorry I didn't ask you ahead of time, Ms. Natalie and Ms. Lisa. Can you please all come up here? And if anyone does need prayer, please don't walk out of here without at least letting us go to the Lord for you. Let us stand in the gap for you. And if there's anybody else that would like to come up as well and pray on them, I encourage that as well. All right, so I want to thank you all again. I'm being told that the food is ready, so we are ready for that. If you still need prayer, Pastor Darren, myself, and I'm sure some others would hang back, so feel free to come if you didn't want to do it in the beginning or in front of everybody. I understand that as well. Know that we love you guys. You guys are awesome, and I'm going to go ahead and pray over the food now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the testimonies that you have brought here before us. They help us to see things in a different light from a different perspective, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would just now bless this time of fellowship that we have. Lord, bless the food. Bless each and every person that's out there working on this, Lord God. Let them know how thankful we are for them and to give them that peace and joy from serving as well, Lord God. So we just thank you, and we're just incredibly overwhelmed by all that you provide for us, Lord God. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.